Welcome to the One Where We Watch Friends podcast. This is a podcast all about the 90s sitcom Friends. We're going to rewatch each episode one by one and dive into the details as we go. I am one of your hosts, Lindsay, and with me today, not every day, but today, is my co-host, Jim.
So,
are you Chandler this time?
That's the route I'm taking.
Good. I got it.
Okay, I'm going to try to give you a hello for each character.
What do you think your hello will be for Monica?
I don't know. Oh, okay. I'll figure that out as we get there.
Okay. Just checking.
But this was a Ross-centric episode, so I probably should have just went with hi.
Well, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Because you did that last time.
I did.
Which is okay. I'm not calling you out for anything. This was a Ross-centric episode, but
it was.
I wouldn't say that we got to know Ross the best of all the characters. I don't know that Ross was developed the most in this episode.
No, I feel like there were three people that were developed during the episode and three people that weren't. And so we'll talk about that when we get to that section. We'll save that for a later time. But I agree with you. I think Ross was one of the people that was developed a little bit, though.
A little bit. But we can talk more later.
Certainly. All right. So today we are discussing season one, episode two, titled The One with the Sonogram at the End. This episode premiered on September 29th, 1994, in the 8:30 to 9 p.m. Eastern time slot. It had 20.2 million viewers.
So that's about what we have on our podcast.
Yes, about 20.2 million.
Yeah.
We are down, just like Friends, 21.5 million from the pilot. So they dropped about 1.3 million from the pilot to the second episode. It was the 19th rated show this week, as opposed to last week when it was 15. And it was tied at 19 with Coach and Frasier, and right behind Dave's World.
Dave's World. That's now, one I hadn't thought about.
Now, we can all agree. Now, I like Dave's World, you know, Harry Anderson, that's good stuff. But I think we can all agree that Coach, Frasier, and Friends, much bigger hits than Dave's World. So the top five that week were, once again, Home Improvement at number one, an ABC show. No change there. Seinfeld at number two. No change there. Grace Under Fire at number three. No change there.
Why do you keep bringing that show up?
Roseanne up from five to four.
Okay.
And number five, again, something you'll probably never see again, the NBC Monday night movie, A Friend to Die For. That was number five.
It sounds like a Lifetime movie.
Monday Night Football dropped out of the top five and dropped all the way to number nine.
Whoa.
Again, this is not something that you will see nowadays. Monday Night Football is always going to lead the ratings. So, just interesting stuff there that Friends still hasn't caught its stride. It's still not the show that we would come to love, although I think we're dating right now and I think we really, really like them.
Exactly. But I'm not sure that you can say they reached their stride this season.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
But yeah, I think we're dating and we might want to start seeing more of each other.
Right. I would think so, although 1.3 million people didn't feel that way this episode.
Yeah, I guess not.
All right, as I mentioned, this was a Ross-centric episode. Last week was Monica. This is Ross, but still a lot of Monica.
We got a lot of Monica this time.
All right, so why don't you go ahead and give us a synopsis of the episode?
So never mind. I started to say I tried to shorten it a little bit, but now that I'm looking here, it's as long as it was last time. Okay. In this episode, Ross discovers that his estranged wife, Carol, is pregnant with his child. However, the news is complicated by the fact that Carol is now in a relationship with her partner, Susan, and they plan to raise the baby together. Ross struggles with his feelings about becoming a dad under such unusual circumstances. Meanwhile, Monica faces her own challenges when her parents come to dinner and seem to favor Ross, and that seems to be the norm.
Seem to?
Despite his current predicament. Rachel grapples with cutting ties with her old life, including her ex-fiancé, Barry, after finding out he went on their planned honeymoon with her maid of honor, Mindy. We're assuming if it's her maid of honor, it's also her best friend.
Probably, yes.
She attempts to return the engagement ring to Barry, but ends up confronting her lingering emotions instead. This episode weaves humor with heartfelt moments as the friends support each other through life surprises, setting the tone for the show's signature blend of comedy and emotional depth.
All right. Good synopsis. So some of the key storylines here, Monica frantically cleaning the apartment because her parents are coming over for dinner and have always favored Ross over her.
Yep. The first time we see that.
Rachel looking for her lost engagement ring so she can return it to Barry, obviously, as you just said. Ross going to the sonogram and getting to a fight with Susan and Carol about all sorts of things, including the baby's first name, the baby's last name, etc. And then Rachel visiting Barry's dentist practice to return the ring. And, as you mentioned, finding out that he went on their honeymoon with the maid of honor.
So here's one thing that I love about friends. So they go out into their lives and they live their lives, like the situations that you just pointed out. But then they always come back home to each other.
Yes.
And, like, have their safe space. And I love that.
And they have I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But they have two safe spaces, right? They have Central Perk.
Yes.
And Monica's apart.
Right, right. And that doesn't always work out that way in real life. So that gives me the warm fuzzies.
Right.
With them. That I get to see that they can come back home and know that they're good together.
Yes. So, what did you just think of the episode overall? Did you like it? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Were you just okay with it? Was it meh?
I was just okay with it.
Okay.
I thought it felt more cohesive than the pilot.
Right, as it should.
But I'm not really loving anybody at this point.
Okay. Yeah, and I think we'll get into that a little bit, too, because to me, this episode doesn't really focus on Chandler, on Joey, or on Phoebe, although we learn a little bit about Phoebe, but it's really Ross, then Monica, then Rachel.
Which is what the pilot was as well.
Well, I felt like it was Monica, then Ross, or maybe Monica, then Rachel, then Ross.
Well, yeah, I just meant those were the three main characters, and Joey and Chandler and Phoebe kind of took a back seat.
Yes.
So, but I do think that this episode was really important to continue to set the groundwork for when I probably am going to feel like the story is more cohesive. Like, we needed to see Monica with her parents because I think that's part of what makes her neurotic, is how difficult they are on her.
Yes.
So I think that was important. I think we need to see how Carol hurt Ross and Susan's stuck in the middle of that, because then you kind of know what makes him all Eeyore-ish all the time.
Right.
You know, so I think we're getting there.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think these first several episodes have to be foundation-laying episodes, right? You can't just jump into a story without really explaining how the characters are, at least if you want to be successful, in my opinion. That's how it's got to go. So speaking of Carol, St. Louisan, Anita Barone, plays Carol, and this is the only episode where she will play Carol.
So I read that she left the show because she wanted a more regular gig. Did she find it? Because I feel like she may have screwed the pooch on that.
So she's a guest star in a lot of TV shows, and she was a series regular prior to this in a comedy anthology called Carol and Company. Obviously, she can't escape the name Carol.
Yeah, it follows her.
Right. But she was replaced by Jane Sibbett? Don't know how to pronounce her name. After this episode, because as you mentioned, she wanted to pursue more full-time roles. And she had originally auditioned for one of the three leading roles for this show.
Oh,
but
wow.
They cast her as Carol.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Jessica Heck play Susan and would fulfill that role during all guest appearances for Susan, which was 12 episodes. Seemed like she was in a lot more, right?
It felt like she was in a whole lot more.
But 12 episodes.
Do the math on that. How many episodes a season would that be if we just spread them out evenly?
I mean, 1.2.
Yeah, feels like it was a whole lot more.
1.1. Yeah, it does, because, you know, you're basically saying she appeared once a season.
Yeah.
Jessica Hecht, who plays Susan, was also in Breaking Bad, if you remember.
Hmm.
She was the wife of Walter White's old partner, and Walter White left that business before it hit big, and then they became gajillionaires.
Oh, no, I don't remember that. I was a Fringe watcher.
Elliot Gould plays Jack Geller,
yeah,
and Christina Pickles plays Judy Geller, the parents of Ross and Monica. Jack would appear in 20 episodes of Friends, and Judy appears in 19.
Yeah, see, I feel like that's more along the lines of Carol and Susan.
Right, and I feel like each of them would have been doubled, yeah, right? Like, I Jack know. And Judy Isn't would have funny? Appeared about 40, so that's funny. Love Elliot Gould.
I do, too.
Classic, MASH, the movie, and just all kinds of things. But he's brilliant. Christina Pickles is great in this role, too. And we will talk a little bit more about her in a second. You have anything to add on the guest appearances?
I don't think so. I want to dive into a little bit about Susan, but that might be part of the storyline. You might want to talk about that one.
No, go ahead. Let's talk about Susan right now.
Susan is incredibly hard on Ross.
Yes.
She doesn't give him an inch, and that frustrated me, and I'm not a Ross fan.
Right.
But come on. She can't expect that he's going to be overjoyed about her, period. But especially as she inserts herself into the middle of this pregnancy as if she made the baby.
Right. And that was kind of his point. That was kind of his point in arguing with her.
Like, clearly, okay, they're in this situation. They're going to have to figure out how to make it work with the three of them together. But don't be inserting yourself saying, oh, the child's going to have your last name.
Right. Right. You had nothing to do with this.
Yes.
So I love it. I'm going to go ahead and just spoil one of the three best lines, because this has to do with Ross and Susan, but I loved it when they are arguing about the baby's name, and they say if it's a girl, they want it to be Minnie, and Ross is like, no, that sounds like Minnie Mouse, and Ross says, what about Julia? And Carol seems to like the idea of Julia, and then Susan says about her and Carol, we agreed on Minnie, and Ross says, referring to him and Carol, well, we agreed to spend the rest of our lives together, but things change.
I sense you may have said that at one point in your life. That sounds like a Jim Butler comment. But then he also says something about, I don't remember you making the sperm,
right,
or something, yes, like that. That made me laugh.
Yes.
Obviously, I guess we need her conflict for the added humor, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but she just, right out of the gate, she irritated me.
Yeah, she's going to be very contentious.
Yes, for sure. And I'm like, come on, just go sit down and be quiet for a few minutes. So,
all right, let's talk about some character highlights. Discuss standout moments for each main character. If you want me to go first.
Go first. I have an idea, but I want to go. You go first.
Yeah, I'm going to start with the guys.
Okay.
So, Ross's obvious love and pain for Carol was something that stood out to me.
Yeah, that's a poor fella. That's heartbreaking.
As well as his disdain for Susan. And also his awkwardness and clumsiness, both when Carol comes to visit him at his job at the museum, as well as when he gets mm-hmm. to the doctor's office.
David Schwimmer does the slapstick really well.
Yes, he does.
And we talked about that in last week's episode, too. But that is not something I ever noticed the first go-around.
No, I don't think I did either.
And he's just really good at that.
Because you don't think of him as, like, so Kramer from Seinfeld,
oh my,
right?
Yeah.
Just a very physical humor type actor, and it's hilarious. And you don't think of Ross being that way, but Ross is kind of that way, but more subtle.
Yes. Yes.
So I think David Schwimmer is brilliant in this. And I know that you're not a big Ross fan, and therefore you might hold some ill will against David Schwimmer for playing Ross, but he's actually brilliant as Ross in this show.
He is. And his little dance he did with the caveman's arm As he's in the exhibit, I guess you would call it, when Carol shows up. That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Okay.
I don't know if this is really, truly what you're talking about, but this stood out to me, and so I want to point it out. But at the very end, so we're going to fast forward all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. At the very end of the episode, we see Rachel has called Mindy. So we see the conversation from Rachel's side of things. And she's telling Mindy, it's okay, I understand. No hard feelings. I hope you're happy. And you're thinking, Mindy's probably thinking, oh, wow, she's handling this situation really well.
Right.
And then Rachel says, if you guys ever have children, I hope that it has Barry's original hairline and your original nose. Yes. And that cracks me up. For one,
that's how you would be.
That's a great burn. Two, I think Rachel's never going to be the most mature person.
Right.
So you get a really good glimpse of Rachel and who she is and who she will be. I don't know. I thought that was a highlight. I don't know that that counts for what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I had on here for Rachel, I had that Rachel man or woman's up, or maybe just cowboys up, and goes to give Barry his ring back. That takes some courage.
Well, do you think, though, that probably etiquette was pushing her? So I think Rachel, or I know, Rachel comes from money.
Right.
And people, families that come from money are all about etiquette. So I think she felt she had no choice.
Well, maybe she did, but we can also say that Rachel's been pretty spoiled, and Rachel's pretty much done whatever she's wanted to her whole life. And so this would have been another way. She doesn't have anybody hanging over her head. She could have mailed him the ring. She could have showed up and dropped it off at the desk and just left.
That's true.
You know, or anything. But instead, she goes in to confront and basically apologize and give the ring back.
Which that takes strength. So you're very right about that. Do you think, though, in that moment, and Barry's not the least bit bothered by her being there, by seeing her, by the whole situation, do you think she had any regret of leaving him at the altar? Because I think she probably did.
She may have, and it may have been triggered, or it may have been exacerbated by the fact that Barry seemed to be okay seeing her and her being there.
Yeah.
That probably would have driven her nuts.
Yeah, because he wasn't phased.
Right. No, he wasn't phased at all. And I know that would drive you nuts.
It would have turned deadly, probably. It would have turned into a Dateline episode at that point.
So moving on from, we've got Ross and Rachel, let's move on to Monica. So Monica is very uptight about her parents coming over. And we soon find out why. She can't seem to do anything right in her parents' eyes.
Yep.
Especially her mom.
Yeah.
Her dad a little bit. Dad doesn't help the situation, but he doesn't pick at her a whole lot.
Right.
But mom is very, very picky.
Yeah. Mom picks.
Big time. And then they both obviously favor Ross. And that doesn't help Monica either. And I think you're right. I think this probably drives her neuroses.
And this is where we hear for the first time that Monica might have struggled with her weight when she was younger.
Yes.
And mom points that out.
We also learn that dad's nickname for Monica is My Little Harmonica, or Our Little Harmonica.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny and cute, having a daughter.
It was also funny to watch the delight that Monica got when Ross finally had to fess up to his situation.
Right, but she still got zinged for it, right?
They still turned. Did you know this?
Yes. I also have that in my best three lines. When Ross is telling his parents that Carol is pregnant and wants him to be involved in co-parent and trying to get the heat off of Monica, right? And then Judy turns, looks at Monica, and yells, "And you knew this?
And you knew this?"
That was very funny. All right. Phoebe. Phoebe's eccentricity and kind of dinginess kind of come through a little bit in this episode.
Well, I think we knew from last
episode. Yeah, I think that we knew she was eccentric. Yeah, we knew that she was eccentric, but it comes through a little bit more, how she's kind of flighty a little bit and a little bit dingy. When Ross comes in and is telling the gang, listen, Carol's pregnant, and they want me to be involved if I'm comfortable. when Phoebe goes, oh, she's so nice, I miss her.
Oh, I miss her. Right. And everybody looks at her like, shut up.
Right.
And we hear about her twin sister.
Her twin sister is career driven, she says.
Which is really funny. She's a waitress.
Right, but... right. And for those that hadn't seen Mad About You, she explains it and says she's a waitress.
Yes.
So I thought that was pretty good.
But does she develop at all? Maybe just a tad, but boy, she's a present that we have not opened yet.
Well, yeah. Same thing with Joey.
We got nothing on Joey.
Joey likes to eat.
That's all we're seeing.
Right. That's all we're seeing. Joey likes to eat. They opened up the lasagna to find Rachel's ring, and Joey starts going to town on it.
Now, Chandler, we see more of his iconic one-liners. You know, do we get a whole lot more on him?
No, we don't. We don't get a whole lot on Chandler this episode, so that's why I focused on him in my sup.
Yeah.
Intro. Okay, we talked a little bit about this, but what about relationships with us in this episode, character development that's in this episode? So one thing that I noticed was... and it was pretty obvious. I didn't notice it because I'm astute. Ross and Monica sibling rivalry.
Yes, but they're also their love for each other.
Right.
And their closeness.
But their sibling rivalry isn't because of them. It's because of their parents.
Oh, yeah. The parents, like, pit them against each other.
Right.
In a way.
And Ross is there trying to protect Monica by trying to take one for the team when Judy yells, and you knew about this?
When Monica gets... teary when she sees the sonogram.
Yes.
That is the telltale sign of her love for Ross.
Right. Exactly. What are some of your best quotes or scenes? You don't have to give me your top three quotes yet, but just anything that stands out.
The last scene when they're looking at the sonogram on the TV in Monica's apartment, there's some comments made that are really funny to me.
Mm-hmm. I think Joey says, what are we looking at?
And Chandler says, I'm not sure, but I think it's about to take over the Enterprise.
Yeah, attack the Enterprise, I believe was the quote.
And then Phoebe says, if you turn your head to the left and relax your eyes, it kind of looks like a potato. Going back, it's like I'm going in reverse order. The very beginning, doy.
Yes, I have Phoebe using the word doy.
Who says as doy? Well.
You know, nobody uses the word doy anymore. I think by the 90s it was kind of out. But I did have a college roommate in the 90s about this time who would use the word doy.
What? Yeah. Well, and then Chandler says, you don't get a lot of doy these days.
No, you don't. So the show starts out again. This episode starts out again in Central Park.
Yeah.
Right? Establishing that is the hangout. I love the fact that once again, they're in Monica's apartment. Once again, they're watching TV, and it's a show from the 70s and 80s, and they're watching Three's Company.
Yep.
And Chandler then says, oh, good, this is the episode of Three's Company where there's some confusion or a misunderstanding. And Phoebe says, oh, good, then I've seen it. And she turns it off.
One.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of humor, the joke on top of a joke that escalates it and keeps and makes things funnier than just a simple one-liner. And that was one thing that was brilliant about this show.
And I love, you know, another nod at an old TV show again. I love that they're doing this.
Yes.
I want to know how long do they keep it up? I genuinely don't remember.
I don't remember either, so it'll be fun to...
I guess we'll see.
It'll be fun to keep track of. Rachel looking for her ring... trying to find it. The friends are trying to help her remember.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, go back and, you know, kind of think back about it. And she was like, I had it when I was in the kitchen with. And I think about that point, she realizes in the lasagna, but she pauses with. And she pauses just long enough for Chandler to say, Dinah? And then Ross and Rachel end up alone in the coffee shop again. Living parallel lives, because the next day she has to go give Barry his ring back and Ross has to go to the sonogram.
Yeah.
And so here they are having to go both face exes that neither one of them want to do for different reasons, but neither one of them want to do. And again, they were there alone and Ross ends up sweeping for Rachel because she hands him the broom and she sits down.
Yeah. Because he's like, can I help you?
Right. I think he meant, can I help you, not can I do it for you?
Exactly.
And then, of course, Ross getting ready to leave the sonogram and then hearing the baby's heartbeat and stopping and turning back around. And at that moment, he's all in.
You remember that what that's like.
I do remember what that is like. Those were some of the better scenes, more memorable quotes and scenes that I saw. Time to move on to the category of music. This is going to be a short category. There was no music.
I was going to say, we ain't got none.
No music for this one. Okay, so next, themes and issues. What major themes or social issues were addressed in this episode?
Well, the same-sex relationship. I mean, which was pretty groundbreaking, I think, in 94.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, they hit that head on. They tackled that.
They did. So I have that written down, too. Two women having a baby together. Not just the same-sex relationship, but raising a child together.
Yeah.
I had that. Divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I have that as a theme. Co-parenting and the problems that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling betrayed by a friend, right? Because Rachel's betrayed by Mindy, essentially. And then not living up to parents' expectations and or a parent having a favorite child. So I think all of these themes are relevant today even, right? I mean, it's not groundbreaking anymore
for
two women to have a baby together, but divorce is still at an all-time high. Because of that, co-parenting has become necessary. We all get betrayed by friends.
Unfortunately.
And then...
and by people who we think are going to be the love of our lives.
Right. And then every child, or almost every child at some point, feels like they never lived up to their parents' expectations.
Yep.
And in some cases, like Monica, it is true, and they can't win. And, you know, that causes a lot of friction. But those were the themes and issues. Okay, best three spoken lines of the show.
I've already
given you two of mine.
Okay, wait, tell me again, what are they?
So, Phoebe saying, "Oh, she's so great. I miss her," when Ross is talking about Carol. I've given all three of them. Ross telling his parents that Carol is pregnant and wants to be involved, and Judy looking at Monica and yelling at her, "And you knew about this?" And then Ross yelling at Carol, "And we agreed to spend the rest of our lives together. Things change."
Okay.
Those were my three.
So mine, it's going to be when they're sitting at the table and they're talking about Rachel, and Judy says, "Well, at least she had the chance to leave a man at the altar." That's a dig at Monica. At
Monica not having a boyfriend or a fiance.
And then when the OBGYN first enters the room and she says, "Any nausea?" And they all three say, "Yeah, just a little." I thought that was cute. And then Ross, when he sees Carol, when she comes to tell him ultimately that she's pregnant, he says to her, "You look great. I hate that." Because how often when you're in the dating world and you break up, do you think those lines like, "Oh, you look great, man. I hate that."
Right, right. That's good stuff. I think these lines or these quotes show, obviously, Ross's disdain for Susan, Judy's almost disdain or disappointment in Monica, and then Phoebe just sometimes being clueless and saying things like, "She's great. I miss her," when clearly that's going to hurt Ross and her not even thinking about it, right? We've all had those moments where something just pops out of our mouths and we're like, "Oh, I wish I could take that
back. I wish I could eat those words." I've got one more thing I want to point out. This is the first time, even though he has no lines, and I think it's uncredited. This is the first time we see Gunther.
Did we see Gunther? I wondered when we were going to get our first Gunther appearance, and I missed it.
It was, a Gunther sighting. So he's back there in the background at Central Perk. So I think we're well on the way to getting the Rachel Due.
Yes.
Not quite. It's not quite the iconic cut yet, but she's en route.
Right.
I would agree. We'll keep an eye on that, and I'll announce when she's officially there with the haircut. So,
okay, so let's go. Let's provide our ratings for the next few categories here. Humor rating out of 10. What would you give it?
10 being the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yes,
it's a 6.5.
Yep, that's right where I'm at. 6.5 as well. I could be talked into 7, but I think I'm sticking with 6.5. What about emotional depth?
I will give it a 7.
See, I feel like it's a 9.
Whoa.
Because I feel like we see Ross's pain and yet still love for Carol. We see how he blames this all on Susan.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And so he's mad at Susan. And then we get Monica's neuroses and, you know, the fact that her parents just pick at her and pick at her and pick at her and nothing that she ever does is yeah. right or good enough. And then we also get... we get Rachel being mature and immature both in the same...
All at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's why I give it a 9 out of 10. I felt like the depth, the emotions were really well played out here. What about character development rating out of 10?
I don't know that you're going to like this. I'm going to go with a 6.5.
Okay, I think that's higher than what I would have given it.
Oh, wow.
I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Okay, because, see, I thought you were going to disagree with me.
No, because okay. I think we get a great Ross, and we get another great Monica, and we get some good Rachel, a tiny little bit of Phoebe, and we got essentially very little to nothing of Joey and Chandler.
So you would think, by watching these first two episodes... that Monica's going to be the breakout star.
Yes. And I think because she was probably the most well-known of the six, that they were trying to push that.
That would make sense. It's interesting how they do figure out a way to balance all six of them.
Yeah.
And they do it really well, I think.
I agree, but not in these first few episodes.
Nope.
Okay, what about plot engagement?
I'm going to give that an 8.
Yeah, I gave it an 8 as well. So here's the notes that I have written down. Very good pacing, very little downtime, moves around from scene to scene, telling multiple stories fairly well.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, overall rating?
7.
Okay, I gave it a 7.5.
Look at us!
I gave it a 7.5, so we're... Okay. We're pretty simpatico on here, except for the emotional depth where we were off. Well, that brings us pretty close to wrapping up here.
What's next week's episode about?
Next week's episode is episode 3, The One with the Thumb. Monica finds it difficult to break up with her latest boyfriend, whom everyone likes. Chandler is reunited with his beloved cigarettes, and Phoebe receives a large sum of money. So it sounds like we're going to get a little bit more Chandler and a little bit more of Phoebe.
Good. So hopefully it's about stinking time.
Yeah, so hopefully we get a little bit of more character development with those two.
Okay, well, we hope that you'll join us next week for that. And remember, it's just going to keep getting better.
As the show does, so will we. So let us know if you have anything on this episode or the next episode. If you have any questions about the next episode, any theories about the next episode, anything you want to say, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, where you can find us at friends_rewatch. If you want to email us, you can always do so
at the world's longest email handle.
100% the world's longest email. The one where we watch friendspod@gmail.com.
Go ahead and click that subscribe button so you won't miss an episode, and tell somebody.
We would appreciate that greatly. And join us next week as we talk about The One with the Thumb.
Bye-bye.